Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. Real quickly, if you're looking for some pro wrestling today, you have Fight or Die Wrestling in Indianapolis, Indiana. You have Without a Cause Wrestling happening today in Everett, Washington. And like usual on a Sunday, you have Blue Collar Wrestling down in Portland, Oregon today. So definitely, if you have pro wrestling near you, go out and support. Had a fantastic time last night making my debut, as everyone on the show did, for FWF. They ran Pablo Nunes in their premier event yesterday. Had a great crowd, great wrestling last night. I understand that idiot Darth Carter was there. I was in the back reading the rule book at the time. But from what I heard, he was there. And then Jackson Bourne apparently may have ended his career. We don't know. You never know with that idiot. But that happened. Also, lots of great action happening all over the country the last few days. Lots and lots of independents doing some huge work. The previously aforementioned Without a Cause Wrestling happening in Everett today, featuring Joey Ryan, one of the top draws in all of independent professional wrestling these days. And I believe QT has joined us. QT, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Bright and bushy-tailed.
Oh, very good. Now, QT, you did not make it to Pablo Nunes for the very first ever FWF event, but I understand your hero showed up yet again and wrestled in a triple threat match. I was in the locker room reading the rule book because I'd never worked for the FWF, of course, until last night.
Now, did Darth Carter have continue his winning streak?
He did not, from what I understand. I don't know. I didn't see the thing. I was in the back reading the rule book, so I didn't even know he was out there. Otherwise, I would have ran out and, you know, probably put the boots to him again. I like
The
boots to him.
I know. I fully condemn, in the strongest possible terms, the boots that were put to my semi-hero last week in Tacoma by Christopher Ryzik. He didn't have to join in.
Yep. Well, you know, he was like, hey, put the boots to him. Like, I can't put the boots to him like this. And then I was demonstrating how I would put the boots to him and that I couldn't just do that.
Oh, okay. Well, if you were in demonstration mode, you're excused.
Yeah, definitely a demonstration of what I couldn't ethically do to Darth Carter after the match.
Well, that Christopher Ryzik's an instigator.
Ryzik did instigate, and then J.D. Mason took umbrage. I think Darth Carter and J.D. Mason are buddy pals.
That could be. I'll have to do more video analysis on this. Yes, if there is video analysis to be had.
Well, possibly. I think NGW films all of their events.
Oh, that's very good. Okay. Well, now, Sign Guy, have you heard the news out of Blue Collar Wrestling that one of my guys that I very have gotten along throughout the years, never a hint of acronymity between us, Paul Moonshine? I think he got beat down pretty bad. Can you give us the details? Yes.
Last week, yes. He was holding the No Limits title around his shoulder. Me presented him to that in the middle of Mac Traeger's match. Max Traeger took definite exception to that. And he shoved Paul right through the curtain and launched him a good 20 feet.
He shoved him through the curtain?
Yes. Hard.
Now, is this the curtain by the concession stand or the one by the bathrooms?
Either. It's the one that leads to the locker room.
Oh, my gosh. I myself have peered inside that curtain. It's slightly intimidating, but I have peered. Yes.
Very careful.
Like
security will grab you.
Wow, this is terrible. That has occurred to me, yes. Boy, that's something. Yes. Boy, that's rough. Well, Sign Guy, what was amazing about the La Problemitas, and I'm sad I missed it, but I had to work a shift. Hopefully one of my last, but it might not be, considering that the guy that I was supposed to train to be my replacement showed up and said after 10 minutes that he was too tired and he wasn't probably going to do the night shifts, and he thinks he's going to complain to the company. I hope not, but anyway, it was the sign of the times afterwards. That would admit that is sign of the times produced, I think, the most individuals, I believe, in a sign of the times, and the most snaps from individual wrestlers. I was very excited.
There were a lot of snaps going out, a lot of fans in there. They were representing Tommy's Story Hour, which is a get-together for special needs individuals in the Kitsap County area. They were taking in the first ever FWF match, and they asked to be in the sign of the times. They're big fans.
Oh, that's very good. Oh, very nice. Okay.
Although things got tense with Jackson Bourne and the Polynesian Headhunter.
I saw that. What led to this tenseness? Yes. Can you fill us in?
The Polynesian Headhunter had been in a double countout with Goblin. Then Headhunter's manager called out Big Steve, and they did a number on the Goblin for several moments until Jackson Bourne and Sean Angel ran out to assist him.
Wow, that's okay. But how does this involve the Polynesian Headhunter?
Well, because it was like his manager and Big Steve that laid out this attack.
Oh, okay. Wow. Now, was the Polynesian Headhunter's usual core fans there, family and fans, family fans there?
Yes, they were.
Oh, very, very good. Okay. Can you tell us about what the attendance of the crowd was?
It was capacity crowd. There weren't any chairs remaining. They did a very good crowd the first event for FWF.
Wow, there usually isn't. Any chairs. Wrestling very popular in that neck of the woods. How'd Ron Von Hess do last night?
He won his match against the Phoenix Kid.
Oh, that is huge. That's huge for Ron Von Hess.
Huge enough to make him number 8 1/4 in this week's top 9 7/8 Turnbuckle Turmoil wrestling rankings.
Yeah, I got to get going on those. Yes.
Are you saying that they'll be out later today around 6:15 p.m.?
That would be very nice, yes. I think I can do that, yes.
Now, will they be on the Facebook page of Von Hess?
I'm going to take applications, yes, and especially from him. Yes.
Now, he might put the call hold on you if you don't rank him. If you put him on his page and he's nowhere to be found, that might set him off. He might just slap that call hold right on you, much like he did to the Phoenix Kid.
Oh, now did he apply that claw hold to the right trapezius of the Phoenix Kid? The right trapezius, or was it the left?
Neither. It was a face claw.
Oh, face claw. Wow. Is it like, do you think Ron Von Hess's Clawhold matches up to the great Khali Clawhold?
It's probably a distant second.
Distant second, yes. Boy, I wouldn't want to feel that claw hold of Ron von Hess or Franken Hess. Yes. Wow.
Well, I think
now,
you find a way to rank.
What's that?
I suggest you find a way to rank him.
Oh, boy, yes. Now, Sine, we were hopefully we will have MK2 coming on, or did he confirm that he couldn't make it?
He should be here at some point soon. He might be running a little bit late.
Oh, very good. Now, I saw video of this MK2 in action, especially against Wolfgang Danger. And, boy, I tell you, that MK2, he moves very well for, I wouldn't actually call him a big man. Although, in his wrestling match against Wolfgang Danger, at least the one I saw, he was billed at 250 pounds. They may have exaggerated his weight a little bit. How do you think MK2 would match up against Ron von Hess or the Polynesian Headhunter?
I think he could hold his head up high in a match with either one of them. And speaking of which, I believe we are joined by our guest. We have MK2 with us.
Hey, Sign Guy, hello.
Well, MK2, thank you for being with us today. I'm excited to have you here. And since it is your first time with us, surprisingly enough, we're going to lead you off with our first-timer question. What started you into the business of professional wrestling?
Well, I went to the Alaska State Fair in 2009, and they had matches there, and I met Mike Madness, and I bought one of his 8x10s, and he told me about the wrestling school, and that was in August, and then in December is when I started training in 2009. And
when you were going into training, did you have any type of previous background in amateur wrestling or other athletics that helped you get through the training?
I wrestled in high school in Oregon, in Salem, Oregon, at Chamawa. I wrestled high school wrestling there, and I've been like a lifelong, I've always practiced in martial arts, and I've always been a lifelong fan of wrestling. Also, WWE, wrestling and pro wrestling.
Definitely. Now, speaking of WWE, they make very sporadic appearances in Alaska. They're there like maybe every 2 to 5 years at best. Do you think that WWE might be missing a pretty good target audience there, since they don't usually hold anything televised in Alaska? There's no pay-per-views there. Do you think that they might be missing the boat on a pretty big fan base, since Alaska does have pretty large population?
I've attended a few shows here in Alaska. They had a super show 1 year, and the Sullivan Arena was just completely sold out. It was like the biggest crowd I ever saw at the Sullivan Arena, and that was a huge card, a super show. And they do come here every maybe 4 or 5 years, but I think they do miss out because they draw maybe 4 or 5,000 people every time they come up.
Now, the independent scene in Alaska is a lot different than most states because Alaska is isolated. There's not like a lot of professional wrestlers that you can call if you need spots filled at the last minute. The crew that's there for the most part. There's a few fly-ins, but it's mostly kind of a small knit group. Do you think that having this small knit group in Alaska's independent scene made it easier for independent wrestling to work there, or do you think that it made it much harder to run shows?
I think it's easier because, I mean, as a fan, I mean, if you attend the show and, I mean, if you're interested, I think it's pretty open that people could actually, I mean, get involved in independent wrestling here. I think it's easier to actually get involved because, I mean, if you're interested, you know, and you're dedicated and, you know, you're in good shape, then you could pretty much, you could start training, you know, and maybe get on a show.
Obviously, with a small crew running in Alaska, especially in the early days when you were starting out, there's not only a limited amount of wrestlers, but there's limited amounts of people to do refereeing, commentary, ring announcing, all of the side jobs that are vital to a good wrestling show.
Yeah.
Were the wrestlers that were at the scene when you were starting out learning how to do everything so they could fill whatever spot was needed at that time, or did you have a solid enough core base in those positions that you didn't really need that?
There was a few people involved. You know, wrestlers' brothers would be referees, or wrestlers' girlfriends would sell tickets and merchandise, or, you know, you got your sound guy who plays your entrance music. Wrestlers would be on the ring crew. You know, we'd all ride together to the matches. So, I mean, there was pretty much everybody was there, you know. I've always been, like, thankful for, you know, sound guy or the referees, you know, because those people, you really need those people in a show.
Anyone that has ever been in professional wrestling for any length of time has suffered the occasional injury. It's just part of the wrestling business that all wrestlers accept. They're going to be banged up from time to time. What
mm-hmm.
were some of the injuries that you suffered during the course of your career?
Oh, wow. I did a double axe handle off the second rope one time, and I hyperextended my left knee when I landed, almost like how Sid landed on his leg. I hyperextended my leg and kind of blew out my knee, and I've jammed all my fingers, you know, broken fingers, busted lips, bloody noses, you know. I've had the wind knocked out of me a few times on, you know, choke slams and super kicks and stuff. You know, it's really rough. You know, you get banged up, your back can get bruised from, you know, hitting the ropes, and, you know, somebody stiff shots you or something. You know, it's really a rough sport. You know, you get bumps and bruises, but it's just part of the game, I think.
Absolutely, it is. And I'll take your Sid Vicious similar injury, and I'll put mine in there. People that saw Sid's leg break in Indianapolis and saw my leg break in Indianapolis, put mine ahead of Sid's as far as how gruesome it looked.
Oh, wow.
Now, of course, you mentioned the bloody noses, and that's always going to be part of wrestling, too, but in professional wrestling over the last few years, there's been controversy about having blood in matches in the recent era because of the knowledge we have of bloodborne pathogens and diseases that can be spread. Some people think that as long as there's blood tests, it's acceptable. Some people don't think blood should be in professional wrestling at all. There's lots of opinions on it. Do you have an opinion on how blood should be used in wrestling in the year 2019?
I think it should be used like not very much. I mean, maybe once or twice a year, I think, maybe in like a steel cage match or something like that. You know, the guy throws you into the cage and you come up and, you know, you're bleeding or you got color, or a guy hits you with a steel chair, you know, or you're outside the ring and you hit the post or the guardrail or something, you know, your head gets busted up. Just not so much. I think, like, not every month or not every pay-per-view, maybe once or twice a year, like a WrestleMania or a SummerSlam or something, somebody will get some color. But I don't think it should be used very much because I think it does have the possibility of spreading disease, but with the blood test, I think a guy would be okay to get color maybe once or twice a year.
One of the other things that is worrisome to wrestlers, especially on the independent level, is catching something from the wrestling mat. There's been instances where MRSA has spread through promotions. There's cholera, which is largely extinct, but that's the reason why wrestlers wipe their boots on the mat. They were trying to stop the spread of that. There's a lot of things that can be spread just on the wrestling mat. Do you think, from what you've seen on shows where you've worked, that independent companies take enough care with the actual ring itself in order to maintain it being clean as possible for the wrestlers?
I don't think that they do keep the mat clean enough. I think that when you put the mat on the ring, I think it should be swept. I was always taught to wipe my boots before I got into the ring. And, I mean, if at all possible, I think that the canvas should actually itself be washed every show. You know, that would be nice, I think.
It would be nice, absolutely. And I have thrown people out of rings for not wiping their boots, so very good job for you for wiping your boots every time.
Yeah.
Now, another thing in professional wrestling these days that seems to be fairly controversial with people is intergender wrestling, with the advent of women's wrestling being as hot as it is right now, and we're seeing more and more women wrestlers in top spots. A lot of people are calling for the resurgence of intergender wrestling. Some people are very opposed to intergender wrestling. Do you happen to have an opinion on intergender matches?
I'm actually a fan of the intergender match because when I wrestled in high school, there was a woman on my wrestling team, and you know, she would wrestle guys her own weight, or you know, they'd match them up. And you know, we have women wrestling in the pros. You know, they train with the guys, so. I mean, to have a match where it's a man versus a woman, I don't see any problem with it. I think that a woman has a chance against a man, you know. I think a woman could beat a man any time, you know. It could happen, I think. I grew up watching Chyna and Nicole Bass. And other women who wrestle guys. Chyna was, you know, Intercontinental Champions, and she's going to the Hall of Fame this year. So, I mean, I'm all for women's wrestling.
One of the other more popular aspects in professional wrestling these days seems to be New Japan Pro Wrestling. They've been around for over 40 years now, but in America they seem to have really hit a peak in popularity. They're on Access TV. There's going to be a New Japan tour of the United States in the coming weeks. New Japan is a dojo in Los Angeles now. What do you think of the New Japan product and the popularity that it seems to have in the United States these days?
Oh yeah, I'm a big fan of New Japan Pro Wrestling. The dojo, the way that they train, I mean, it's strong. They, you know, they work out every day. And for them to come and have success in the U.S., I think it's a big opportunity for those guys to come here and get over. And I think it's really cool that they're, they're international. So, I mean, for a guy from the U.S. to go to Japan, or for a guy to go from Japan to the U.S., I think it's really good. It's really good for wrestling, I think. And I'm just a big fan of the way that they train and how strong those guys are. And some of their guys are just, like, some of the best wrestlers in the whole world.
Well, we have a game that we play on this show, and I think you're a perfect candidate for this. We call
it
Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. I will give you a series of two options, and the one that you prefer is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, here we go. First one, pin or submission?
Pin.
Trunks or tights?
Tights.
Seated senton or running senton?
Running senton.
Juice or coffee?
Juice.
Moose or polar bear?
Moose.
Boxing or MMA?
Boxing.
Jerry Lawler or Jerry Briscoe?
Jerry Lawler.
Cage match or battle royal?
Cage match.
The last one, mask or face paint?
Face paint.
All right. Well, in professional wrestling, it is very important to have good cardiovascular conditioning to get through the matches. Every wrestler has that one match where they go longer than they have before, and some of them struggle with it, some of them exceed with it. What would you say was the longest match that you've had?
One time we had a six-man championship scramble, and we went for about 30 minutes. I mean, it was wild. We were all over the place. Guys were in the ring, out of the ring, and it went for 30 minutes. I think my longest one-on-one match may have been 10, maybe 20 minutes, about 18. And, I mean, I was winded because me and the guy I was going against, we were going pretty hard. And, you know, I got blown up in the early part of the match, and I caught my breath, and I think I finished pretty strong. But we went about 20 minutes.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I'm sure he has questions, so I'm going to pass things along to you, QT.
All right.
Well, thank you. Hello, MK2.
Hello.
MK2, you said you went to the Alaska State Fair in 2009. Do you recall if they had a petting zoo for children?
Yes, they do have a big, there's a big barn there, and they have farm animals, and there's a petting zoo, yes.
Did they have llamas there? Llamas or alpacas?
Maybe, I don't remember, but they do have a lot of animals there.
Oh, okay, all right. I'm just saying that I brought this question to bear because have you ever seen the movie Napoleon Dynamite?
Yes.
He feeds his llama, whose name is Tina, some deviled ham. Do you recall the scene in the movie where he fed
yeah.
his llama?
I remember.
Okay. What this has to do with wrestling, I'm not sure, but you did mention the stage. Okay. Well, you also said you went to high school in Oregon. And was this, did you wrestle, and you said that you were on the wrestling team. My question is, did you wrestle all 4 years?
No, actually I wrestled my junior and senior year there at 171 pounds in Salem, Oregon. It was probably one of the best times of my life. I really liked it. They had a tournament at our school, so like, I mean, I was on the home team, and I won in front of all my friends, and I won a gold medal and a trophy and stuff, and I was actually voted the most inspirational wrestler that year.
You mean your junior year or senior year?
That was my senior year.
Wow. And you wrestled 171 both years?
Yes. Yeah. I try to maintain my weight. I usually weigh about 170, 100, maybe 165 to about 180 pounds. I try to, you know, maintain a weight level in there, somewhere in there.
Okay. Wow. What was your record in your junior year? Can you give us your win-loss record?
I think I lost. I don't really remember. I think I lost maybe two or three times. I don't really remember my record. I only lost maybe two times, I think.
Wow. And how about your senior year? Were you undefeated?
No, I actually lost a couple times then, too.
Oh, okay. Now, what did you place in state? Did you win the state your senior year?
No, I didn't. I lost that year. Maybe I was like second, I think. I didn't win state.
Wow. Okay. All right. Now, when you were going to, did your high school coach make you watch film of the great Dan Gable?
No, my coach was actually a big fan of Coach John Smith from Oklahoma State. And one year there was a wrestling meet at Oregon State, and Oklahoma State was the visiting team. And so we were there, and actually Randy Couture was there too. I actually met Randy Couture there, and Coach John Smith were guys that I looked up to who are wrestlers.
Wow, now John Smith was a great freestyle wrestler. What was the Olympics he won the gold medal in freestyle, John Smith?
I don't remember. I know it was quite a while ago because he was already the coach of he was already coaching Oklahoma State when I was in high school, so I don't remember.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, who was the kid that about 6 years ago, he went through all of his college season unbeaten and won four straight NCAA championships. Do you recall his name?
I don't remember. I think it might have been Kyle Drake. I can't remember. I think maybe it was him. I can't remember. I think he wrestled for Cornell or I can't remember. I'm a big fan of Oklahoma State as my personal favorite wrestling team.
Oh, I remember. It was Cale Sanderson.
Oh, okay, yeah. Heavyweight, right? Was he a heavyweight?
No, I think he was 190 or 180. 190 or 180. Well, he also went on to win a gold medal. And he was undefeated in Olympic wrestling. Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, during your time in Oregon, did they keep a close eye on how much weight the kids were allowed to cut?
Yeah. We had to do a physical, and I had to weigh in. And the doctor told me that I shouldn't go any lower than about 160. So I was only allowed to lose maybe 10 or 11 pounds.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, MK2, you told Sangai that you had the wind knocked out of you with the super kicks and choke slams.
Yeah.
As you continue into the area of boxing, are you aware that Irish Mickey Ward was known as one of the top 10 body punchers of all time with his left hook to the liver? Did you watch a film of Irish Mickey Ward?
Yeah, I watched the movie The Fighter. That's a pretty good movie. I liked it. And I've seen highlights of some of his fights before, too.
Whoa, yes. Man, you wouldn't want to get into the ring with Irish Mickey Ward. He kept himself in really good shape.
Uh-huh.
I mean, hardly an ounce of fat on that guy.
Oh, yeah. Some of the boxers are really, really, really good shape.
Like Tommy Hitman Hearns. He didn't have that on him at all.
No. Yeah, growing up, I was...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to mention that I was a big fan of Sugar Ray Leonard growing up.
Sugar Ray Leonard, yes. Did he get his start in the welterweight division? Did he start out as a welterweight?
I think so. Yeah, I think he did.
Okay. All right. Well, MK2, another great body shot artist, was, of course, Smokin' Joe Frazier. He aged Muhammad Ali a couple years with his left hooks to Muhammad Ali's body, Joe Frazier.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
Smokin' Joe out of Philly. And I seen him and Ali fight, too, and I think he really beat up Ali. I think Ali lost, years off of his career from his fight with Joe Frazier.
Yeah, that's true, and... Also, Ali made the mistake of one of his last matches. It wasn't the last one. I think he had two other fights after this, or maybe just one, but it was against Larry Holmes.
Yeah.
And Larry Holmes was beating off on his body.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I saw that.
Now, another great body shot boxer who was ranked in the top 10 was Jake LaMotta, the Raging Bull.
Uh-huh. Yeah, really strong guy. I watched the movie with Robert De Niro, Raging Bull. Some of those guys have movies made about them, like Mickey Ward had The Fighter, and Jake LaMotta had Raging Bull.
Yes, I mean, Marcel Cerdan and Sugar Ray Robinson felt the body blows of Jake LaMotta, especially Sugar Ray Robinson.
Uh-huh.
Jake LaMotta was one of those boxers that would wade in, and he'd take a lot of blows just to land some body shots. Yes.
Uh-huh.
And did you know that Bob Fitzsimmons won the heavyweight championship against James J. Corbett with a left hook to the body?
Wow, I didn't know that, no.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe you could go on YouTube and see the fight. I don't know if they have it because that was a long time ago, but there may be footage of Bob Fitzsimmons against James J. Corbett, maybe. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'll look it up. I've never heard of him. So I'll look him up. Fitzsimmons.
Yeah, Bob Fitzsimmons. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, MK2, for the record, can we have the name of your high school and what the mascot of your high school was? This is very important.
Oh, yeah. It's Chumawa Indian School. It's a boarding school where Native American kids from around the country, they go there because education might not be like good where, you know, some Native kids come from, like the reservation or from the village in Alaska or something. So they go to this school there in Salem, and the mascot is a brave, like a Native American warrior, like, you know, with the mohawk and the tomahawk, and the Chumawa Braves in Salem, Oregon.
I'm not very good. Okay, what were your school colors?
Red and black and white.
Oh, very good. Okay, red, black, and white. Okay.
Yeah.
How far was this from Scappoose High School?
I'm not sure. I know it's it was right off the highway in Salem. They actually have their own street named after them, Chumawa Drive.
Chumawa Drive. Okay. All right. Well, MK2, here's a quiz for you. Can you name the athlete that was voted the greatest athlete of the first half of the 20th century, and he went to Carlisle Indian School, and he played semi-pro baseball, but he was also a gold medalist in the decathlon and heptathlon?
I'm not sure. Is it? Thorpe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow,
man, he was a super athlete too. I mean, some of those guys could just run for days, man, like miles and miles. Like they can, like long distance runners and stuff. And some of those guys, they wouldn't quit. They just run and run and run.
Yes, there's a, I believe there's a tribe of Indians down near Arizona called the Hopi Indians, and they used to run distances.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah. Apaches, they can run really far and fast. I have a few friends who are Hopi and Apaches from Arizona.
Wow. Well, I myself am an honorary member of the Kalitz Indian tribe up in Longview and Kelso. Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I think I've heard of them. Who was it again?
The Kalitz Indian tribe? Yes.
Oh, okay. Cool. Is that, that's in Washington?
Yes.
Oh, right. Cool.
I have several honorary names that are kind of, well, they're controversial. Yes. Sign guy will
okay.
fill you in on that.
Okay.
Kind of like he who asks questions that make people's head explode. That's one of my Indian names. Yes.
All right.
Now, speaking of Indian distance runners, and I'm sure that you yourself do a lot of road work. Do you recall Billy Mills winning the 1964 Olympics?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a big fan of his too, and I've gone to. He's done like he speaks at like schools and stuff like that, and different places. I've actually met him. He came here before, and I got a T-shirt from him that I used to actually go jogging in.
You have an autographed shirt from Billy Mills?
It's not autographed, but it did come from him, one of his T-shirts.
Wow, very good, very good. Whoa,
yeah.
Boy. Oh, all right.
Huh?
Well, MJ2, how long was it after you got through with high school wrestling that you transitioned to boxing?
I've always practiced. I've always been in martial arts, so I've always done a lot of shadow boxing, and I've always done a lot of road work, and I've always hit the heavy bag and stuff like that, and I'd spar with my friends. So I've always trained. I've always been a natural like athlete and boxer and martial artist, but I didn't. I always trained. I've always trained. I didn't have a fight until I was like 30. So I mean, I was a little late, but. I'm still undefeated in the professional boxing, like 3-0.
Oh wow, yeah, that's fantastic. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, MK, I did see your YouTube video entitled "Alaskan Wrestling Alliance Live MK2 versus Wolfgang Danger."
Yeah.
And the first question that popped out in my mind was, are there any truths to the rumors that Wolfgang Danger is the son of celebrity chef Wolfgang Puck?
No, that's not true. Wolfgang Danger is the son of Nick Danger, who was actually in the WWF back in the days. And Nick Danger is a guy that I looked up to because Nick Danger was in the WWF when it was the WWF, and he's a real local legend because one year the WWE came to town and they had Macho Man Randy Savage, they had Razor Ramon, but there was a match where the Brooklyn Brawler, he didn't have an opponent, and they got Nick Danger in there, and he was at the time he was the only guy to ever wrestle for WWE here in Alaska.
Wow, very interesting. Were you at that match?
I was in attendance there that night, and I still remember it.
Holy smoke. Now, was Razor Ramones one of your all-time top five wrestlers? Razor Ramon.
Yeah. I was pretty young then, and my mom actually brought me to the matches that time, and my mom was actually a really big fan of Razor Ramon, you know, because he was the bad guy and stuff like that. And I was so happy because Macho Man Randy Savage was there that night, and he had a hurt knee, but he didn't want to let the fans down, so he showed up that night, and yeah, it was great, man. Macho Man and Razor Ramon was the main event.
Wow. Now was Miss Elizabeth with him at the time?
Oh, no. It was just Macho Man.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, did you know that Randy Macho Man Savage was in the Cincinnati Reds organization for minor league baseball?
Yes. And I'm a big fan of Macho Man. I'm a big fan of wrestling, but I'm also a big fan of baseball. I mean, I love baseball. For me, it's like, if I was to ever play a sport with a ball, it would be baseball. I love baseball.
Did they have a baseball program at your high school?
Yes, I actually I went to catch a pop fly ball in the outfield, and I twisted my ankle. There was a hole in the grass, and I stepped in it, and I twisted my ankle that day.
Oh, wow. Did that was that your junior year or senior year?
I think it was my senior year.
Did you play right field or left field?
Left. No, I was in the right field that time.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Who is your favorite right fielder right now in the major leagues, right fielder?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I wouldn't know. I mean, there's like a lot of trades going on. My favorite team in baseball is the New York Mets. I love the New York Mets.
Okay. New York Mets. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, MK, in that match with Wolfgang Danger, at the 5-minute and 2-second mark of the match, after you kicked him in the stomach to bring him to his knees, you hit him with a double axe handle chop to the middle of the back. My question is, were you also a big fan of Larry the Axe Henning?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Big fan. Big fan of the Henning family. Larry the Axe Henning. I remember watching a WWE event where Jesse Ventura and Gorilla Monsoon were doing commentary, and they were talking about his neck and how he had such a big neck. I was a fan of Larry Henning's neck, actually, more than the axe.
And that's one thing I wanted to ask you. How do you build up your neck to absorb those blows for boxing? How did you build up your neck?
I do a lot of head nodding. Like, I'll nod forward. I'll look both directions. I twirl my neck, neck bridges, massage. I get massages on my neck, and I stretch out. A lot of neck bridges, forward, backwards, lots of neck bridges.
Okay. All right. Okay, very good. Yeah, that whiplash, if you get hit to the left hook with a good left hook to the head, your neck really has to absorb a lot of that. Yes.
Yes. Got to have a strong neck.
Well, MK, in that match, you had a good drop toe hold on him at the 5-minute and 30-second mark of the match. And then you quickly got him into a half Boston crab on his left leg, which you held on to for about 19 seconds.
Uh-huh.
My question is, have you ever traveled to Boston? And if you did you have the crab cakes for dinner?
No. I've never been to Boston. No, I've never been to Boston.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, at 6:33 mark, while you were both outside of the ring, you gave Wolfgang a big knife edge chop. What's the hardest knife edge chop you have received?
Wow. Maybe it was from AK Lightning, because I know AK Lightning, he hits pretty hard with a knife edge chop. I'd have to say it was AK Lightning.
Oh, all right. There's okay. I've heard that rumors that his chop is very good. Ooh,
yeah.
AK Lightning. Wow.
Or maybe Mike Madness, because I mean, Mike Madness is a big guy, and I mean, he hits a chop somewhat like the Big Show does, you know, the big hand to the chest.
Oh yes. Now, did you ever see some of the footage where Andre the Giant would chop Randy Macho Man Savage, and he'd be extra hard because he was mad at how he treated Miss Elizabeth?
Yeah. I remember hearing Hulk Hogan say that Macho Man didn't like wrestling Andre the Giant because, I mean, Andre would just, like, ragdoll him sometimes, you know, in the ring and have his way with Macho Man.
Yes. Boy, that's okay. Yep, you're right there. Well, now, in that game with Wolfgang, after you were outside the ring and hit that knife-edge chop, and you had about 5 minutes of an offensive onslaught where he didn't offer up too much resistance. And in fact, you bounced off the ropes and gave him a big elbow drop at the 11-minute and 30-second mark of the match. Were you surprised that he kicked out of your elbow drop at the 2.5 count at the 11:30 mark?
Yeah, I thought I had him, man, because that match was actually for the light heavyweight championship. It was a championship match, and I was trying my hardest to win the belt and the title. And Wolfgang, he was a young guy, but I mean, he comes from a famous wrestling family, so I know he's really good and he's really strong, and I know he trains really hard. And I thought I had put him away with a big elbow, but he kicked out, you know. Yeah, much to my surprise.
Yes, he got the win over you with a power slam at exactly the 14-minute mark of the video. In fact, your back hit the mat at exactly the 13 minute and 56-second mark, so the ref was pretty much spot on in his counting. And I believe this match took place on or near July 20th, 2011. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Wow, that's okay. How many times afterward did you face up with him?
I don't think we ever had a one-on-one match again after that. We had a tag team match. It was father and son, Nick Danger and Wolfgang Danger, against the team of myself and Mike Madness. We had a tag team match. We had a one-on-one match. You know, I mean, I love the Danger family. I mean, they're just so cool. They're good people, and you know, they have a strong wrestling background. I mean, Nick Danger was in WWE. Wolfgang Danger was the light heavyweight champion. And I mean, I love Wolfgang, and you know, I wish him the best. You know, wherever he's at.
Wow, very good, very good. All right. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy. And MK2, thank you for your information about the Chamala Indian School.
All right, nice talking to you too, T.
Okay, back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, MK2, one of the things that wrestlers tend to gravitate towards when they're not in the ring wrestling actively is commentary. We see a lot of color commentators come out of the wrestling ring to do that aspect of the role.
Uh-huh.
Is commentary something that you had ever thought of doing or had any aspirations to try your hand at some point?
I would love to do commentary. I mean, or ring announcing, commentary, you know, backstage interviewer. I mean, I'm one of the guys who I'll do anything, you know, I have to do to be a part of, you know, to be a part of professional wrestling, whether it be sell tickets or referee or ring announce, you know, I would love to do commentary. Yes.
Do you have any particular commentators, be it current day or formerly, that you think that you would most try to pattern yourself after, or do you think that you'd have a completely unique way of doing commentary?
Yeah, I try to be myself, but I mean, some guys, I mean, I like the wrestlers who became commentators, like Jesse Ventura or Gorilla Monsoon, other guys who are just strictly announcers like Jim Ross or Mean Gene Okerlund. I like the guys who provide color, you know, maybe like Bobby Heenan or Paul Heyman.
And you mentioned refereeing. A lot of wrestlers learn how to referee so they can fill in if a show happens to need a referee and there's none available. Is refereeing something that you ever actively took part in during your career?
I've never refereed a match like during an event. I've never refereed a match, but during training, you know, I'll drop down and, you know, hit the mat. But no, I've never refereed a match, no.
Something I think everybody should learn if they're going to be on a show in any capacity. It never hurts to know everything that there is.
Yeah, yes.
Well, we got just a few minutes left on the show today, and I want to give you ample time. So if there's anything at all you would like to say to the listeners today, plug and promote anything you wish, floor is all yours.
Okay. 49th State Wrestling is going to be at Willowa Social March 30th. They have a good card there. Class will be there, Freya the Slayer, TJ Rocks. But also, the big one that's coming up is WrestlePro is coming to Sullivan Arena on April 20th. And, they still have tickets. We're going to have Mick Foley, Chris Masters, Colt Cabana, Hornswoggle, Taya Valkyrie, Johnny Impact. I mean, this is probably going to be one of the biggest matches to ever happen in Alaska. That's on April 20th at the Sullivan Arena.
Well, MK2, it was a pleasure having you on Turnbuckle Turmoil today. Great to catch up with you.
Thanks for having me, guy. Nice talking to you.
Oh, anytime. Always a pleasure to come across you. And fans, jump on the YouTube, check out MK2's work. And we will be back with you next week. Next Friday afternoon, we have Darren Deeds. And a week from today, kickoff. Inactive month, we will have someone I used to manage, the Hoff, with us. So it's going to be a great month of March. Make sure you have plans in place to be with us, and we will talk to you next week.